Lord, we have come here this morning recognizing that we are sinners that are saved by your grace. It is your grace and your grace alone. Nothing we could do could merit your favor, but it is by your grace. It's not us, it's Christ in us, Christ in me. And Christ in me is the hope of glory, and we praise you for that. Guide us, Lord, as we look into your word this morning. I pray your Holy Spirit would just work in our hearts and our minds, and that you might bring us refreshing, that you might bring us challenge, that you might continue to mold us into the people that you want us to be. Thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. Thank you that we can live by it as the words of life are right before us, Lord. Help us to be diligent in reading it and studying it and hiding it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Guide us now, Lord, as we look into your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My mother died on February 3rd, 2007. My father had died 7 years prior to that. He also died in February, strangely enough. But my mom died on February 3rd, 2007. She was a very sweet woman. If you wonder where I get my sweet disposition, it's, what? What? Is that funny? If you wonder where I get my sweet disposition, it's from my mother. The rest of it's from my dad. Blame him. My mom put up with a lot of stuff from my two older brothers and my younger sister. Now, my two older brothers have died, and now it's just my sister Jane and I. We're it. Parents are gone, two siblings gone. My brother Dave, who's 3 years old, was 3 years older than me, died in 1975 of kidney cancer 2 days after his 28th birthday. My brother Al, by the way, Michael and Emily, his name was Alvin. My brother's name was Alvin. My father's name was Alvin, and his father's name was Alvin. And I can guarantee there will be no more Alvin Pearsons, just so you know. My brother Al died in November 2013. In fact, Dave and Al died in November. So Februarys and Novembers are rough. He was 73 years old. He had a form of dementia called Pike's disease, very aggressive. He had been sick for 8 years. My sister-in-law, Sandy, cared for him for 4 years, and it got to the point where she just couldn't care for him anymore. It was beyond her ability to care for him. And he was in a nursing home for 4 years. November 2013, a respiratory virus went through the nursing home, and he was gone in 2 days. I suspect, I have no way of knowing it, but I suspect it was COVID before we knew COVID was a thing. And, you know, COVID is a hard thing. But I can look at it and say, well, if it was COVID or whatever it was, I can praise the Lord. He needed to be with Jesus. He was this tiny, skinny, frail guy who didn't know people anymore. And it's like a different perspective on it, saying, you know what? The Lord used that to take him to glory. Back to my mom. After my mom's funeral, my sister and I'm not sure if my brother Al, who was certainly still alive at that point, I don't know if he was with us or not, but my sister and I at least sat down with my mom's Bible, and in the back she had notes written to the children and some of the grandchildren. More grandchildren have come along since then. And the gist of her notes, we had to laugh, because the gist of her notes was to the kids, be nice to each other. Every note has some variation on be nice to each other. And we had to laugh because, well, we are nice to each other. We get along fine. The three of us, the three remaining children, get along fine. But she was always trying to fix things even if they were broken. You know how moms can be sometimes. But she also left a note, some notes in her Bible. And she left a note under the passage that we're going to look at today. It's Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And in that, she indicated that God has used these verses to comfort her. She didn't know at the time, but this comfort came within days of her passing. So this passage is a great passage, but for me, it's like this passage was special to my mom in the days before she went to glory. Now, last week we began our two-part series. Maybe it'll be three parts. We shall see. We looked at Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, and we called it the hope of glory. And we talked about justification. We didn't go very deep into it, but we said, what is this justification? What's it all about? What is justification? And then we looked at some of the blessings that come from our justification. We saw that we have peace with God. We saw that we have access and standing in God's grace. And we saw that we can rejoice in the hope of glory. That was good stuff. This week we're going to look at Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. And as we said last week, we looked at our hope of glory. Today we're going to look at our hope in tribulation. We're going to see some more blessings of justification. We're going to see that we can glory because of that. We can glory in tribulation. We have a hope that does not disappoint. And we have the love of God within us through the Holy Spirit. Open your Bibles with me, and I'm going to read through that passage before we begin. Romans 5, we'll look at what we looked at last week, and we'll continue on into this week's text. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only this, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. First thing we'll look at is the blessings, more blessings of our justification. The first thing is that because of our justification, we can glory in tribulation. He starts out there saying, and not only this. What is he talking about? What he's saying is, and not only do we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but we also rejoice in tribulation. Now, we can enjoy peace with God that assures of this future glory. That's glory looking down the road. We have this future glory. But we might say, well, what about the adversity and the difficulties that I face today? Looking forward to that future glory is great, but I got to get through it. I got to get through all this stuff before I get there. Well, the first thing we need to do is take one day at a time. Jesus reminds us to do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I remember my mom, my sweet little mom, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about this, worrying about that. We can worry about scenarios and things that never happen. And my dad would say to her, don't borrow trouble. That's a dad kind of thing to say. Don't borrow trouble. We need to just enjoy the grace that God has given us this day, and we'll deal with tomorrow. But in spite of the trouble that a day can bring, we are called to rejoice in tribulation. Rejoice in the problems. Rejoice in all that comes along that is not fun, not things we look for. Now, for unbelievers who have no hope of glory, this is a problem. They can't do this, because if this life is all there is, this is the only place they're going to find any joy. How can they rejoice in this life if they might be bound to a wheelchair, or they might have a chronic illness, or someone they love has a chronic illness? There's a lot of things that they cannot rejoice in, because for them, this is it. They think, what is to come? The worst life on earth is better than one day in hell. They have nothing to look forward. If they're going to have joy, they need to have it today. Well, for believers, we can rejoice in tribulation, because this life is only a fleeting vapor compared to eternity. This is like nothing. I once heard someone talk about eternity. You may have heard this, and I'm sure the dimensions and the specific things on this vary from whoever's telling it. But if you took a piece of granite, this is very helpful to me. Take a piece of granite, a cube of granite, solid granite, 1,000 miles wide, 1,000 miles deep, 1,000 miles high, big piece of granite, and every 1,000 years, a little bird came down and scraped it with its beak. How long would that block of granite take to be disintegrated? Well, that would take forever. So we have this, we have life. Even if we live 100 years, 110 years, what is that compared to forever? Romans 8:18 reminds us that he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I can't even begin to imagine or think what that glory is. But nothing we go through can compare to that glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says, for momentary light afflictions is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comprehension. He's writing that in a chapter where he's talking about all the things, the afflictions, the perplexities, the persecutions, and being struck down. He's talking in context of that, and he says, it's momentary. These are light afflictions. They're producing eternal weight of glory. Psalm 34:19 reminds us that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Just because you're righteous doesn't mean you get away with it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We might not be delivered till eternity, but that's okay. So for the believer, we have a hope that is beyond the troubles that we are facing. For the unbeliever who has no hope, this is all they have. This is the only place they can have joy. Verse goes on in verse 3, it says, and not only this, but we also rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance. James 1, 2 to 4, you're probably thinking, when's he going to get the James verse in there, right? He says, consider it all joy. It's not joyful, but consider it joy. Consider all joy, my brother, and when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We all intuitively know that tribulation, problems, trials teach us patience. They teach us to be steadfast. They teach us perseverance. How do we become patient and perseverance and have perseverance if there is nothing to be patient about, nothing to persevere? Did you ever pray for patience? Oh, Lord, give me patience. They say, wait a minute, I prayed for patience, and I got nothing but trouble. Yeah, you asked for it. Because how do you get patience? By having the troubles and the issues to deal with. That is what these tribulations, these trials are there to cause us to grow in our perseverance. This perseverance may also, perseverance through tribulation may also help us discover the difference between true believers in Jesus Christ, a true possessor of Jesus Christ, and a mere professor of Jesus Christ. You see, when we have these trials and things come into our life, a true believer in Jesus Christ is going to be drawn to God. But if you're only professing Christ and there's no real change in your heart and mind, you're not born from above, these same trials and tribulations will turn them away. You see, the same sun that melts ice also hardens clay. So we see that these trials bring perseverance, and perseverance, verse 4, brings proven character, and proven character brings hope. Character is born in the fires of tribulation and perseverance. You all know the story. I like watching these shows where they're digging for gold and they're down in the Bering Sea, sucking it up out of the ocean floor there, and they're counting all their little flakes. And then they process, they melt it down, great heat, whatever the temperature is for melting gold. And what happens? All the impurities come to the top and you skim them off. And the more you heat it, the more impurities come out, and the more and more and more, and it becomes the purer as you heat it up. Diamonds are nothing but a piece of worthless carbon that are created under tremendous pressure. That is where our character comes from. We have these tribulations, we have these trials, we persevere under them, and we have this proven character. Now, while individuals, like we ourselves, will struggle with, go through trials, and our families go through struggles together, a loved one dies, it's not just you that's mourning, it's the rest of your family and friends. They're struggling with it. Then you can have whole communities that are going through trials. I think of watching on the news, maybe there's floods, maybe there's hurricanes, maybe there's a tornado. People's lives are devastated. They have these trials. And our nation, as by and large, can mourn. We're mourning now loss of life in Afghanistan. We have these things individually, collectively, and so on, but generally speaking, we have it really good in America. We have had it really good in America. We have fully stocked supermarket shelves. We have our iPhones and our lattes. We have so many choices that we suffer from anxiety. There's too many things to choose from. Even the poorest among us would be considered a king or queen to billions of people throughout the world. Even if you're homeless, there are still resources for you. You can find food, or clothing. You can get out of the cold when they have a code blue. There are some places there's no resources. But I do believe that there's a very good possibility that the proverbial worm, could turn and some of these things we've been enjoying may go away. How will you and I fare if the shelves are empty? How will we fare if we are searching for scraps of food rather than getting our morning latte? What kind of character will we display? See, those who have proven character born out of perseverance also have hope. Tribulation, perseverance, character, and hope. And those who have hope can glory in tribulation. We have seen that we can glory in tribulation. The next part, number two, is we can have a hope we have a hope that will not disappoint. I touched on this quite a bit last week, but that end of verse 5, that verse 5 at the beginning rather says, hope does not disappoint. We might say that hopes can disappoint us. We have financial hopes that can be wiped out overnight in the stock market or wherever you have your money. Our health can fail, or the health of people we love can fail. Loved ones may die. Our hopes may yield nothing but disappointments. But as we said last week, there is a hope from God that never disappoints us. This hope is the joyful, confident expectation that God will do as he promised. It's not a hope he will do it. It's an expectance of him doing it. We just haven't quite gotten there yet. This is the hope we have in God. He will do what he says he will do. He will keep his promises to us. So in the midst of tribulation and trials, we can look forward and know that God is caring for us, and he's using these tribulations to mature us and to make us people of character and to give us hope. Now, we saw that we can glory in our tribulation. We saw that we have a hope that will not disappoint us. Now we see that we have the love of God through the Holy Spirit. What assurance do we have that God's hope will never disappoint or shame us? What hope do we have? Well, he's got it right here in verse 5. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If God loved us so much that he would come into our lives, and if our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then how can his hope ever disappoint us or bring us to shame? What I'd like to do as we close, yeah, another short one. What I'd like to do as we close, I'd like to just reread that section for you and let the word speak for itself, because you can do it a whole lot better than I can. Whenever we have trials or tribulations, whenever they come our way, we know that we have been justified by faith. We have been declared righteous by faith. We know that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have obtained our access or introduction or access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we may rejoice of that future hope of glory and of God. But not only this, we also rejoice in tribulations. Why? We know that tribulations bring about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings hope. And God's hope does not disappoint us. We've been disappointed in other areas of our lives. God's hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out within our hearts. And he has done that through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. As I was reflecting on this and reflecting on the comfort that these verses brought my mother just days before her death, the word rest came to my mind. Just popped in my head, rest. My mother was 87 years old. She was frail. She was sick. She was tired. And she longed for rest. She used to say, "Bobby, I don't know why I'm still here. I guess God's not done with me." She can call me Bobby, you can't. She needed rest. Well, she went into her eternal rest resting in the hope that does not disappoint. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And for me, and for you here, and for anyone who may be watching, I call each of us, every one of us, to rest. Rest in that hope that does not disappoint. Let's pray together. Lord, these are glorious words that well, they speak for themselves. I can't do much more to them than they already say. Lord, life does disappoint us. Lord, we do have trials. All of us do. But we know that through them, you are using those things to create us to be people of perseverance and character. And from that comes hope. And it is your hope, not our hope that disappoints. It is your hope. Lord, may we all rest in the hope that does not disappoint us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.